We've been digging deeper and deeper into the notion of Yichud HaBore and the Gili, the notion of a process of Gili HaYichud, of uncovering that. And I believe that in the upcoming paragraph he's going to connect two important ideas which up until this point may have seemed very disparate and very unrelated. Now we've already discussed Manishana Koch Malas Hayichud Azeh Mikol Shahamalos Asher Lishlemus. What's unique about Yichud HaBorei as opposed to all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's other the other aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfection, a little bit of a biblical reference there. Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlemo, so it's Asher Lishlemus. The Yichud HaBorei as opposed to all the other Milas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlemus. Shezehu Hanosei Makom Lihiluch Hazeh Shachisaron Ushlemus Avodah V'Kibosah. It's only Gili HaYichud which allows the process for which involves imperfection and then working towards perfection. And that in turn means room for us to work and thus to earn schar. Ki amnam im lo haya rotza haratzin elyon el legalos malos mishlemuso. If the goal was just is revealing shlemus habore, why the lifal dvarim shlemu? If you have shlemus hahu, shai rotza legalos. It would just be a question of demonstrating. As he's getting to a very important point. He's saying, yichud. Yichud HaBorei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in demonstrating Yichud HaBorei. So, or Bechlal, the notion that Ribono Shel Olam is interested in us being aware of his perfection. So why does it have to be process and problems and crisis and journey until we finally get to a destination of Giloy of Shlemus? It's a shame. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in us being aware of his shleimus. So make us aware. As he put it, act in a shalim way. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu act in a way that demonstrates some aspect of his perfection or another. Why all the drama? He says, no. You're right. Gilui HaYichud, uniquely among all the aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shleimus, involves a process, and that's what we had spoken about earlier, and that's actually, he says, the point, the process. Were any other aspect of Kadosh Baruch Hu Shlemus, it would just be the Kadosh Baruch Hu would demonstrate his Shlemus, do perfectly wise things, do perfectly whatever. Whatever aspect of Shemus is, that would just be a one-stop process. Okay, well, demonstration of Shemus, and it's demonstrated. It wouldn't require any lack, any imperfection. As we've discussed earlier. So, for any other aspect of Shemus' perfection, it's a question of portraying it, of demonstrating it. It doesn't involve imperfections along the way. And then he says, here is the turnaround. The chisronos are not just a necessary step towards Gilui HaYichud. Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in a process of imperfections because Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in providing us human beings with the opportunity to work. Without chesaron, there's been no opportunity to grow, to change, to struggle to be better. There's no opportunity to struggle to self-improve. There's no opportunity to earn sar. In other words, what he's saying is, this whole idea of Gilui HaYichud really plugs back into the original conversation, the very beginning of Das Tunos, which is that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe because he was interested in being mitiv. He was interested in doing good for others, so he needs to create others, and he needs to create good, as we discussed in the very beginning. He creates human beings in Olam Haba, and then a way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to organize the universe we enjoy the goodness that much more if we've earned it. So he creates a second context in which human beings exist, Olam Hazeh, which is designed not to be the Olam of Schar, but the Olam of Nisayon. So he says, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, in designing Olam Hazeh, chose Gilui HaYichud as the goal around which to build Olam, design Olam Hazeh, because that's a goal that allows for imperfection, human struggle, human opportunity for human self-perfection, human self-perfection, and thereby, sorry, hold on one second. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that the aspect of perfection that would become clear over the course of this universe would be Yichud HaBorei, then the Mishach Mizeshiyah Chesar and Benivah. That goal, that telos, that destination, then determines that in the design of the universe will involve initially imperfect creatures. We're going to have chesronos. That's going to be discussed in the past. That the ra is here in order to more deftly demonstrate and more effectively demonstrate his shlemus. And that again brings shishlila is negation, to negate. Because Baruch Hu creates an imperfect universe so that we have the opportunity to negate that chisar, right, to work through it. So it sounds like it's a very powerful idea. It sort of turns things on their heads a little bit. Well, it inverts the way you would have thought. Because Baruch Hu chose Birur HaYichud, Gilui HaYichud, as a goal for the universe so that the universe would involve a process of chisaron leading to shlemus. As you put it before, and the way you get from chisaron to shlemus is avoda of the human being, which enables kibbutz tzar, and it gives the opportunity to earn, to work, to create our own Olam Haba. So he's about to say something very important, that being that ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goal in our having chesronos is to have the opportunity to undo them. That means the chesronos are fundamentally temporary. We'll get to that moment, but you got a question.
I don't know if this is off topic, but how do we define
schar? That is a bit off topic. He's going to get to it. A little bit. The greatest tov is going to be connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And part of that connection comes, this is sort of very, very mikutsar, part of that connection comes from being more like him, which is part of why earning our tov in Olam Hazeh, or earning, spending time in Olam Hazeh, earning the tov, creating the tov to be enjoyed in Olam Haba, earning it makes it that much better, because through earning it, through creating our tov, through owning our tov, we are a little more similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely independent. So he's entirely the master of his own destiny, to the extent that we can even use this terminology. So to be, in some sense, the masters of our own destiny, to have created our own Olam Haba, instead of just being handed it passively, we are that much, there's that added element of being similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Damos Tashem, and that is, that links very fundamentally to the goodness of plugging into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a deep logical circle there. Please.
By saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create us with the Seronos in order to give us Schar, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forced into a framework of, well, there's no other way for us to get Schar, so he has to do this. But
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm sorry if I misspoke before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in creating us with the service. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in us having the opportunity to earn our
star. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying that the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give us what he needs to give us is by through the service. there's no other way he could have given it to us. He had to give it to us through these bad stuff. Being motivated, that's right. Aren't something that we want.
I guess you would say that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to design the universe.
The way he
organized conceptual organization of the universe. But there's a limit to, but ultimately you get to a point where that's where it takes us back to the soda can. Right? We reach the limit of how we can understand the universe according to the givens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose when he created it. He could have chosen a different set of givens, okay? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. Right, said. So we can make sense of things as they are. We can understand the logic behind the way things are. And given the way the universe is construed on a very fundamental conceptual level, the Bir HaYichud is something that lends itself to a process from Chisaron to Shleimus. And being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in our having the opportunity to choose to move ourselves from Chisaron to Shleimus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to build the universe. He had to. He chose to build the universe around that design principle.
And that's something we can understand.
Why? I mean, let's see how much further it goes. And he says, Ach Einzah Perich Chabdalad, Einzah Adayin Sof Biru HaYichud. This isn't the end of it. Sof Davar Mikor Shleimuso Ye'odeh V'Emes HaChisaron Yishaer HaKol Mesukan V'Koach Memshelas Tuvah HaSholit Levado. You have to realize that in the end of the story, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to reveal himself fully, full Gilui HaYichud, so then everything will be fixed. And then this speaks a little bit to your issue. The Chisronos will be eliminated. That will be Nigla Befoal. That will be actual Gilui HaYichud. When there will be nothing that even seems like it's limiting your Ribono Shel Olam. And what he's saying is that the as Rav Chaim Friedlander puts in the footnote, the tachlis of evil is to be eliminated, and to thereby clarify in even greater contrast true yichud. Amnom tiri mayotzim, and he says, consider, the seichel says to neshama, what emerges from this. It's true that we look around at Olam Hazeh and nothing's perfect. By design, nothing's perfect. Olam Hazeh is complicated by design. That's the way Olam Hazeh was intended to be at the present moment. Borrowing language from Kachin, he says that the imperfections of Olam Hazeh are not a mum kavua. The imperfections of Olam Hazeh are not a permanent problem. Adra, mum over there. All the imperfections of this universe are, at their very essence, temporary, passing. Mum should tzarich la'avar al kalpanim. A mum that needs to be removed.
Mum over
there
is something that happens in the mirror.
And that's why he uses that language. That's why he sort of, right, mum over in the kashrut sense usually means a mum that will go away in its own. So that's why he then tweaks it. Mum should tzarech la'avar kapam. A mum that needs to pass. Regardless. It must. Ella sheharbei drachim yimatzu la'avir osam. There are a lot of ways to get to the end of the story. There are different routes that might be taken to ultimately eliminate Ra. Let's go a little further. Tavini Shorash Kalza says that understand more deeply where does this come from? What is the Chisaron? Hine HaChisaron Ahu Lo Nolad Elmi Has Tepar B'Sha Adam Baruch Hu. Understand logically that the presence of imperfection in this universe, the presence of evil in this universe, the presence of pain in this universe, is an nafkamina in Hester Panav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to sometimes make himself less obvious. Shelo ratzi lo ha'ir panav al nivrav mitchila miyad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to not, you know, shine, so to speak, fully on his creatures immediately. Shu shleim b'tfilo, we'd be immediately perfect. Adrab, his tir padavim, his yiram chasim. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to create universe in the way that he isn't obvious. That's not the way Olam Haba is, but that is the way Olam Hazeh is by design. Ki himei or pnei hamelech chaim vaday, hastero mekor kol ra. So to speak, metaphorically speaking, the light of the face of the king. This full recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is life in the most profound way. And the absence of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the inability to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to be incognito, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to mask himself or to glove his hand, that is the source of all evil in this world. That's what it is.
It's contrasting Olam Hazeh and Olam
Haba. Yes, that also, but within Olam Hazeh, he says, when we talk, a lot of these ideas increasingly coalesce into one. Because when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create Olam Hazeh in a way that involved chesronos that we will work through, and thereby, by working through them, A, accomplish Gilui HaYichud, B, earn our schar, says understand. And then he said, you know, with the full realization of Gilui HaYichud, all chesronos disappear, because chesronos are essentially as applications, manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing to duck, HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing to hide himself. So of course, with Gilui HaYichud, that is a very essentially, inherently, the end of chesronos. Kevash HaKavona HaTachlisis B'hester HaZeh Eina Lios Nister El Adrav Ligalos HaKach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did choose to be master himself and thereby create chesronos, but the goal was that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't per se interested in being hidden. The goal was as a setup to subsequent Gilui U'lahavir Kol HaRosh Nodor Rak B'hester Hu, and thereby with subsequent Gilui will sweep away all of the temporary Ra that was a result of the temporary Hester Panim. So that's why Hinei Alkein Sab Lo Chok U'Mishpat L'Galos Pnei Tuvah Nistar. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he will definitely, ultimately, bring the universe to complete realization of him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't per se interested in Hester Panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in Hester Panim in order to thereby, as a way of thereby generating temporary chesronos that give us opportunity to hack away at him, to do that work, to struggle to self-improve, to struggle to engage in human elimination of that route. And the goal is to thereby make the old subsequent Gilui that much more wonderful. So, being that that's the case, the fact that the end of the story is a given. That the story of the universe will end with Gilui Yichud, that's a locked in foregone conclusion. As he puts it, Sablo Choku Mishpat. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to place that as a given. That's the way he decides to create the universe. Now, how is that going to happen? How will Gilui Pnei Tuvo Hanistarim happen? How will the hidden aspects, the hidden goodness, the hidden light, as he put it before, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be revealed? Well, it can happen in different ways. Is there Oide Masim Shiyasu B'Yadim? It can either happen through human action, it's a human decision. Heim Heim HaMishpatim HaTorosu Shinas Olanu Toroso Tarasas. The actions that are prescribed by Ribbono Shel Olam to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah. Asher Yaseh HaOsam HaAdam V'Chai Bahem. That's a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. We're talking about the mitzvahs. Asher Yaseh HaOsam HaAdam V'Chai Bahem. These are the mitzvahs. Asher Yaseh HaOsam HaAdam V'Chai Bahem. The human will do these mitzvahs and live through them. So on one level, V'Chai Bahem Lo Shemus Bahem. It's a reference to physical life, and that's a marker for Pikuach Nefesh being Doch HaKol Torah Kula. That's a marker that we accept. Near the end of the last parak of Masechas Yumah. But he's suggesting, and there's another layer of interpretation of the pasuk. That's what mitzvahs are. not just chayim ba'olam hazeh, that mitzvahs in general should not get in the way of maintaining physical, biological life. That's also true. And it's also true that it means mitzvahs is essentially, inherently, fundamentally, generate eternal life. That's what you just said. One route to ultimate gilui hayichud, gilui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is through human beings living life the way we're supposed to, living life the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has guided us in His Torah. Kis chai mitzvah mitzvah. Who are as part of Yisbar HaShemel. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Or, as he puts it down below, the Otra version, Schar mitzvah u mitzvah hu he'aras pa'im yisbar shemel, which is an easier read. The schar of every mitzvah is an added element of such being the...
Another way of saying is like is that a nicer idea?
I'm not sure what it means, though.
That a mitzvah is ha'aras pa'im.
Oh, okay. So he's saying the notion, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the schar mitzvah, means not just if you do a mitzvah, you have the opportunity to do another mitzvah, but the greatest, deepest schar of a mitzvah is maybe the mitzvah.
He was really trying to say that.
It's the Aras Pan. That's why he had the alternative version of the Ksaviyat. Histero Samina Adam Mitzvah Yitzhiyas. Rosham chose to not make himself fully evident to human beings initially. Through doing mitzvahs, we draw that out. Hinei Al Kein La Amal Nivra. And that's why that's another quote from Tanakh at the pasuk in Iyov, Adam la'amol yulav. The human beings were born to work. We're in this universe to be challenged, to accomplish them, to work hard at accomplishing important things, to work hard at doing that which living the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. Alkein la'adam la'amol nivra. Iyov hayetz rasha leipo. We're created with a very power, designed to have a very powerful Yitzhara. Rabba ra'asa olav b'chalmini chesronos. Yitzhara has incredible draw over us, incredible pull. So easy to do the wrong thing. It's so hard to do the right thing. And so many aspects of our own chesronos. Haricha kasher lo mi'arachayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us, put us in a universe where we don't have instant easy access to Or HaChayim. So Kadosh Baruch was light. Maaseh ha-mitzvahs mi'irim alav ha'or ha'danus. But the acts of mitzvahs shine upon the Jew who does them the ha'danus, the hidden light. This is fascinating, by the way. He just threw in another term, or ha'danus, which we've heard in other contexts. Chazal talked about the or of Yom Rishon is the or that was nignaz and tzaddikim. He just threw that in. That's or ha'danus. In other words, every single mitzvah has it, not just menorah. Every single mitzvah. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're drawing out more of the ha'aras panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're chipping away.
Ha'aras panim is oraganos.
That's what it sounds like. Oraganos is, in other words, which then also allows us to have a far more fundamental the notion of the or of Yom Rishon HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going, is it? What does that mean? No, it fits in very logically to this whole system of ideas. It's the same idea. He just said in one line, he said that the story of Yom Rishon of Ma'aseh Bereishis is this idea. That fundamentally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is told, and this, so to speak, the natural state of the universe would have been to just, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obvious and everything's wonderful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision to temporarily limit that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, so to speak, to cramp his style.
And that's what the light and darkness is?
Yes. That's what he's saying. That's the Omek HaPshat. I was like, wow. And now things begin to make sense. You also begin to understand, by the way, as when you talk about the Mishnah in Chagiga, Perek Beis Mishnah talks about Ma'aseh Bereishis as one of the main fields of Kabbalah. A deeper study of the first paragraph of Bereishis, begin to understand that he just gave us a little bit of an insight. It's a little lick. There's that those lines there about Yom Rishon have a lot to do with everything we're talking about.
Sweet.
Notion of Or and Choshech.
So then the R wasn't really created then. The R is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how was it created?
I would say the R is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is not light. But there's a natural... Perhaps the R refers to the way in which we experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the goodness that we would experience.
So how could we experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he doesn't exist?
I'm not sure. But at the very least, to a certain extent, the story of Bria day one is a way of talking about these ideas. He's saying on a certain level, it may also be true, as Aviezer and Schroeder argue, that Yom Rishon is also talking about the Big Bang, and the raw Nathan Aviezer is the chair of the physics department of Bar Ilan. Both he and Schroeder have written intriguing books about understanding Sheshes and Abrashes in light of modern cosmology. So Aviezer, in his book in the beginning, which is I would highly recommend. So he points out, he said, I can't explain everything, but there's a lot of sukkim that already fall into place based on what science has discovered the last couple of decades. So he talks about understanding the Yom Rishon of Bereishis as describing the Big Bang, describing this incredibly intense point of energy that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates, and it begins to expand and cool down into matter, and then from there into protons and hydrogen, helium, and so on and so forth. So that's certainly possible, and on level of pshat. And at the same time, al derech remez or derech sod, it's referring to the underlying spiritual reality of that. Is that at the core of the universe? Fundamentally, it's really all goodness and light. Light is, we use light as a metaphor. We don't mean electromagnetic. When he's talking about the Or HaGadlus, it could probably be Nayer. It doesn't mean electromagnetic radiation. And we use light as a metaphor. For goodness, for warmth, for illumination, for clarity, right? So, but it may well be that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to, the process which he chose for creating the physical universe, beginning with this incredibly powerful burst of energy, which then sort of gets masked into matter, which is a lot less exciting. And you look at, E equals MC squared is not patently obvious. I'm saying, hey, look at this energy. I'm knocking the table. No, it's a table. Right? In some profound level, it really is, matter is a transmuted form of energy. E equals MC squared. But it doesn't seem that way. I go into the Pnimius HaDvarim, I dig into relativity and quantum mechanics. On a very deep level, this is really a different presentation of energy. That itself is a metaphor, and that may be what's going on here. There's Yom Rishon is describing perhaps the originally exams is great, but that's what's happening physically, and that expresses a certain, or reflects a certain spiritual reality. That its core, the whole universe is all that Yichud HaBore, but it is at the moment masked. It's in a way that's inobvious. You dig deep in the Pnimius HaDvarim, you can see that in the Ra it's really Liktov. Yeah, it's not obvious. Just like when you bang on the bookcase, it's not obvious this is really a form of energy. Or HaGanos. Asher b'hashlimo chok mitzvosav nishlam atzmo mehem le'or b'or ha'chaim ha'el. So that's one option is that the universe might ultimately arrive at Gilui HaYichud through the work of human beings. The human beings doing mitzvahs and creating greater Ha'aras Panim using our Bechir Chafshis. Well, to do the right thing, that will accumulate into ultimately a full Gilui HaYichud. And then he says, and maybe we'll close with the next paragraph. Here in the middle of page Chavei, in Lo Yetiv, if human beings will not act sufficiently well, and human, if human beings, we have bechira chashish. We could choose not to act kafi haTorah in a way that will naturally, of our own accord, generate gilyach. Hine afa pichein yirtze hayichud ha'elid in his kalos. Ribbono Shalom wants yichud to become manifest. Oh, and that's a chistir panami alamo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have a permanent state of hester panami. I said before, it was meant as a temporary thing. As I said before, some lachoku mishpat. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided meirosh this is going to be a temporary reality. There are two routes to get to the end. It could be through our doing, or because the Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses that it be so. If we're not creating that gila yichud, then we'd be deserving of punishment. There will be onesh, either onesh that will turn us around and spark tshuva, or onesh that will punish us for what we've done. But one way or the other, we will come to, the universe will come to fruition. It could be, it remains to be seen, whether this is the same as, or maybe just parallel to, the Gemara in Sanhedrin's of Tzadik Chesamav. The Gemara there talks about different descriptions in the Tanakh of Bias HaMashiach. Now, this may not be talking about Bias HaMashiach, this is probably talking about a step even beyond Bias HaMashiach that we have need to see. But if it's not the same, it's certainly a similar notion. Gemara says, the Gemara is a stira. When will Mashiach come, and how will Mashiach come? Will he come bi'ita or achishenu, on time or hurried up, advance of the appointed time? And that's a stira from one word to the next in Sefer Yeshayahu. And the Gemara is a stira between Zachariah and Daniel. Will the manner of Mashiach's arrival be miraculous or non-miraculous? It'll be like flying out the sky, or just or just very simple, like a poor man riding a donkey. So the Gemara says it depends. Zachu lo zachu. We're zoche. And that Mashiach will come as soon as we're zoche, ahead of schedule, and very miraculously. If we're not zoche, then Mashiach will come at the cates, at the appointed time. There's a time beyond which, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Mashiach to come by hook or by crook. It'll be more natural. Our Chaim says in Parshas Balak, the passage Rosh Hashanah is fond of quoting, you know, lots of other times, that if lo zachos, then it'll be through natural political process. Evolution of political process. It seems like that's what we have been living through for the last century or more. It's a little sad. Then lo zachinu. On the other hand, we're mamash seeing the unfolding of the process of Bias HaMashiach. Right? So, but that sounds like what he's saying. We'll get there to the ultimate Gila Yichud, one or the other. Either we could be Zocha to it, or it'll happen despite our not having been Zocha, and that will affect. You're sort of like the, what will be the quality of the process of getting there? But either way, the ultimate destination is the same. So, Mashal Ma'adavar Dome, the Klal Yisrael get to Eretz Yisrael, it could have been the straight route. We were Chote, so it took us 40 years, but we end up longer, more torturous process, but either way, we end up getting to the same ultimate destination. The question is when and how. But to where, whither, where are we landing? Either way, we're landing at Israel. Here, either way, we're landing at Gilui Yichud ultimately. But how we get there, that depends on our actions. Something we see in other contexts also. The destination, the goals, are Kadosh Baruch Hu's goals. But how we get there, that can depend on our Bechir Chavshus.